Welcome, everybody, and welcome back. Episode 8, Dark Sunsets, JR.
What up?
We made it. It's a beautiful April evening here, coming up on some fun Easter activities rapidly approaching. It's for the kids, you know?
How are you doing today, brother?
I'm doing very well, man. It's great. I got this new look I got going on. I've got these new glasses that, you know, they're not really prescription, but they allow me to appear more sophisticated, which is fantastic. So, you know, I'm really going for that look where it's, hey, this guy can read a book.
Yeah, no, you look very studious. Like, I feel like everything you've said to me today has just been extremely intellectual. I just feel like it's raised my IQ just a few points by just having a quick conversation with you.
I'm spelling the word restaurant to you, and, you know, that's what's really just over the edge is my spelling capability. So we did take a week off last week. We apologize. I know a lot of people have been texting us saying, hey, where's the new episode? We, you know, just got busy. Life happens and that shit goes down. But we got an action-packed episode, don't we?
We got a fun-filled, action-packed episode. You know, the merch is still rolling out. You know, check us out on IG at Dark Sunsets Podcast. Shout out to, actually, there's a little bit more development with our potential sponsor, Guacamole.
Yeah, you know, fill me in.
I was talking with David. And, you know, he's got some t-shirts and some potential you know, giveaways that, you know, if you reference the Dark Sunset Podcast at the Guacamole food truck, you might be able to get like a free chips and guac, possibly free shirts, stuff like that.
Nice.
So yeah, I believe it actually, the website, I said it wrong last time. I think it's guacamoletacos.com, but
got it.
You know, if you just Google search it, you'll find it. But yeah, say hello to David, you know, give him a shout from our Dark Sunsets. And, when we get the socks out, rock the socks, y'all.
Absolutely. And yeah, all the merch is coming, definitely. And, you know, if you do want a shirt, just hit us up. We'll definitely take care of you. And the socks are definitely approaching as well. And as always,
the darker the sunsets, the brighter the day, y'all.
So episode 8, action pack. Let's definitely dive into it right away. You know, as we're talking about Easter Sunday that's approaching, you know, Jesus, and it's all about, you know, the kids in particular with the Easter egg hunting. We're talking about eggs right off the bat, right?
What's cracking?
So what is actually Kraken? So this is a story that we certainly were talking about before that we wanted to share with everybody. We're talking about not only Mr. Jeffrey Lendrum, a.k.a. the Pablo Escobar of bird egg smuggling.
No, this guy is a G. I mean, I've never heard of somebody be the Pablo Escobar of egg smuggling. Like, I mean, just to be mentioned in the same breath as Pablo Escobar, you know you're doing something big. But the fact that this guy is the Pablo Escobar of egg smuggling, like, he's been doing this for so long. You want to just give him, like, a quick little scoop on how he became the Don of the egg smuggling game?
Absolutely, yeah, which is amazing to even think about as well, because if you get a chance, everybody, you should definitely. And what we're going to start doing, by the way, is we talk a lot about these stories. We're going to post the stories so you guys can see certain photos and videos around these stories. But, yeah, this guy here. They use the term prolific, which is amazing. So he was a prolific bird egg smuggler that was jailed for 3 years after he was caught at Heathrow Airport. Shout out England, 21 Savage, with rare bird eggs strapped to his chest. Okay, so let's just think about that. So what he did was similar to, you think of Locked Up Abroad, you think of all these stories of people who are smuggling cocaine and drugs.
Right.
He actually did that with eggs.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and you know, from the photo that I'm looking at right now, it's literally the, like, around his midriff, his midsection. He's got the bandages that I'm guessing these eggs are hopefully carefully wrapped around. He doesn't look like he's not obese, but he's not real slim. He's got a little cushion, so I'm guessing the eggs are gently nestled in there. But I mean, he's got these eggs wrapped around him. And I guess it's like a gauze or a foam, you know, just, you know, wrapped around or whatever. And he's got 9 eggs. So I thought that the body scanners and whatnot would catch, you know, something like that. You know, the body scanners these days, they can pretty much see your junk, you know, whatever. But this guy's been doing this for over a decade, I think. And, you know, the craziest thing is that it's eggs. So the slightest movement in the wrong direction, whatever. And, you know, his goose is cooked. I don't know, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that is literally what it's looking like. Like, I'll crack an egg, and there's definitely times where that thing will just sink down the sink. And I'm like, oh, I definitely have to get a new egg. This guy is putting them on his body, right? So he was found in possession with eggs from hawks, eagles, and vultures. And some were even hidden in his socks. And if the eggs actually hatched, the birds would have fetched over 100,000 pounds, which is close to like $140,000. So I believe what he's doing is he's literally, and he was coming from South Africa, right? So he was obviously stealing these eggs, which when you watch Planet Earth, you know, you're looking at these stories where these foxes, he's a real life fox. Like he's the actual fantastic Mr. Fox, this guy.
Well, the other thing too, that's crazy is that apparently he was also, you know, rappelling down cliffs just like, I guess on rope, or I think one of the reports had him rappelling down a rope off of a helicopter. And so like, he might be like the 007 of this egg game. Like, I've never heard of such serious, like extreme, like it's like X Games mixed with like, you know, Busch Gardens egg keeping. Like, I don't know. This is the craziest thing I think I've heard in a bit.
I feel like we should add him to the roster of what's the film that has like Jet Li, Sylvester Stallone, Jason Statham.
Expendables.
Yes. This guy, and correct me if I'm wrong, yes, Jeffrey Lendrum, a.k.a. the Pablo Escobar of stealing eggs, needs to be involved in those movies because he's putting his life out there by doing this.
And I mean, the fact that he, like, he's very educated, because, I mean, I should say very educated in the wildlife game, because for him to be able to know the habitats, the locales, and then, you know, where he needs to rappel. Like, people don't rappel just on, like, I'm not going to go, like, if I want to go rappel, I'll go to a place like
Vertical Ventures. That's the first time you've ever used the word rappel.
You know, I'm going to go to Vertical Ventures and have, like, the auto belay where it's, like, it controls me safely down an inside wall. I'm not going to be hanging off no helicopter trying to get these rare birds, but... You know, the grind is real. The hustle is strong. I'm proud of this guy for you know, getting to a new niche.
I mean, this is a whole new way of hustling. I mean, if you're going to the point of not only traveling to a foreign country, but as you mentioned, rappelling down a fucking cliff and potentially jumping off a helicopter to get birds in order to bring them back and then potentially flip them, you deserve to make the money and be the Pablo Escobar of bird smuggling and, like, egg smuggling.
I'm just curious to know what his net worth is, and obviously it's not going to be, since he's doing this illegally, you know, I'm just curious as to what his full net worth is, because, I mean, if he's been doing this for that many years and these eggs are just fetching so much, I mean, he probably has like a palatial estate that nobody knows about. He's got like ostriches that, like, you come to the front gate, he's got an ostrich waiting for you to take your luggage. You hop on another ostrich's back. It takes you to the compound.
Do you think when like people come over his house, he's like, you see what this is? You see this refrigerator? Eggs.
Nothing but eggs, baby.
He's like, this is made by eggs money right here. This is all done by eggs. But what is interesting as well is now that he's been caught, now he's going to be surveillance across the board for all of these type of, you know, crimes and everything. So he has to like jump into a different market, meaning he has to do something different. So when he goes to actually apply for a new job, on his resume, what happens when they see a 14-year gap? And it's just, what does it say on his resume? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, if he was going to get a 9-to-5, I would know how he would be able to do that. If I was him, though, on my resume, I would just, you know, for that 14-year, 15-year period, I would just write extraordinary, and that'd be it. Like, they, like, extraordinary, inquire within, you know, just if they have any questions, they could talk to me about it, whatever else. But
what are your skill sets? I'm excellent. I mean, these are too many puns. We can't even go down this path. And, you know, when we're talking about stupid shit and what people are doing at all time, you know, this definitely brings us to where we're recording right now as a team, you know, a Florida story. So let's dive into this. If you definitely want to share about this hilarious story about, you know, Florida's own.
Well, yeah, so we go from one story of a man that is the Pablo Escobar of stealing some things to another man who, I guess, almost goes to the exact opposite. So he kind of lives the Pablo Escobar lifestyle, because a man, his name's Andrew Lippi, is a 59-year-old guy, and he was accused of stealing from Kmart just days after he purchased an $8 million private island for himself. So this man, Florida man, he was arrested this previous Saturday for shoplifting at a Kmart. And he had bought this, you know, multi-million dollar private island somewhere off of Key West. You know, so Key West, all you Floridians that are listening, you know where that is. But if you're not from Florida, it's pretty much almost the most southernmost point you can go, you know, in the United States. So this guy was accused of stealing about $300 worth of household goods from a Kmart. And then he basically, I guess, tried to replace them with cheaper items and then return them for a refund. Now, note, this is, like we said, this is after he purchased a private island for $8 million. So when you think about that in the grand scheme of things, it's kind of like, you know, 1 + 1 = 2. Like, you get an $8 million island, why are you stealing $300 worth of stuff? To make it even worse, though, this guy, Lippy, he's also an owner of a 12-bedroom resort compound in Key West. And this resort was actually a resort that was used by MTV to film a season of The Real World in 2006.
I mean, this is the most real world type of crime. I mean, the fact that you're not only very wealthy, but you're going to the point of going to a Kmart. So first off, a couple things come up, right? So Kmart. I don't know about you, but I didn't think that was still a thing. I thought that was the Blockbuster of Walmarts.
Now, Super Kmart, you know, there's probably like five still around, but, you know, they are actually, it's probably like they combined all the small Kmarts into the Super Kmart.
It's like
it's like Voltron. They all combined and they made their best Kmart, you know.
We've come together to create the ultimate Kmart. But yeah, it's interesting to even see like some of the actual items that he went to go steal and he's accusing, right? So including LED light bulbs, a $55 Hamilton Beach coffee maker, which he allegedly replaced with a much older coffee maker and returned the full refund. Like, this guy, he obviously gets off on the thrill of doing this. And, you know, that's a small segue of what's interesting as well, is my brother actually did this, right? So shout out to my brother. He makes a lot of money. And he, at the time, actually stole deodorant. What did he steal? He stole deodorant. He stole toothpaste. And he stole, I think, an actual toothbrush. And the best part about it was, JR, he had $20 in his pocket. So this guy obviously supersedes my brother by doing insane things, but this is almost similar to that. You think he's like doing this just to get off? I mean, look at the photo of him. He looks like he needs a thrill in his life, right? He definitely does not look like he's living every day to the fullest. So maybe this is something that he can have a rush by doing this.
Yeah, he's kind of got like a smirk and whatnot, but I mean, if he was really trying to get off, he could have just, you know, from previous episodes, walked up and said, "Hey, can you manipulate my Johnson?" You know, like, I don't know.
Yeah, find the local multi-service type establishment. But look in the ceilings. Shout out to Jay Dave, who said there's not a lot of cameras in a lot of them, but there's definitely some cameras in some. But
and then, so I guess the quote from Lippy, what he told, you know, when the news reached out to him for comment and whatnot, he said that it's very complicated and he'd rather not get into it. And he said, "I will say this, that the way it was handled by Key West Police and Monroe County Sheriff's Department was wonderful. Some of the finest people I've ever dealt with who are kind throughout the whole process." So it's like, I think this guy's just like a thrill seeker maybe, but I mean, when you're an owner of an estate that was used for the real world,
Come on. That's
like, everybody knows the real world. And then you buy an $8 million island. You gotta do other stuff for thrills. I mean, you know, go rappelling down a cliff for rare eggs.
This could be the same guy who does that.
Jeez. Well,
fancy him actually replying to the police station and saying what an incredible job that they do. That's like getting beat up at a bar fight and be like, "Hey, your left hook was actually phenomenal. That was amazing. It just knocked my fucking chin clean off."
Yeah, that was a good shot right there.
You don't actually compliment the staff or the people who took you down, especially when you're getting arrested by the local establishment of these officers here.
But yeah, so he is scheduled to appear in court for his arraignment on April 18th. And, you know, I guess he'll get his just desserts at the right time. I don't know what is going to come from this, but these thrill seekers, they definitely, this first two stories so far, it's kind of crazy. I don't know.
I mean, we're definitely starting off strong. And as we're continuing the shelf now, right, so we're talking about people and doing irrational things just for a thrill. That leads us to our next story here, which is certainly a lady who also got caught, similar to not only the egg smuggler, but also the real world house thief, if you will. But the next story here is a Michigan woman, JR, who lived for a month with her boyfriend's dead body in her house.
Wow.
Let's just talk about that a little bit here. So in Monroe, Michigan, a Michigan woman was arrested after living in her boyfriend's oh my gosh, after living with her boyfriend's corpse for over a month. So as soon as the police were called to do a welfare check Wednesday by the family of the 61-year-old man who was actually dead, who had not been heard in several weeks, which was not like his behavior, then of course they came in, smelled the house itself, and then started to ask questions.
And yeah, I believe that the gentleman, the deceased gentleman, was in a chair by the front door. So she was basically, her name is Angela Schock. She's 49 years old. She lived in the house, but she just left him in the chair by the front door, deceased, and she would walk in and out of the house with his body there. And she basically just wanted to use his credit cards, debit cards, his resources. I think he got some sort of financial aid, you know, whether it's Social Security, something like that. But, you know, that was her means of I guess, living, except she's walking by this dead body
every single day. So it's not like a honey, I'm home type scenario, right? She walks in and that's got to be a foul odor after a while. I mean, that's got to be brutal. I think we might even have a clip that...
And I'll cue up the clip too. And the funny thing though, I'm kind of concerned right now about Michigan, because this Angela Schock lady is not the first Michigan resident that was caught living with a corpse. And that was according to the quote unquote Free Press. Back in December 2017, investigators found that a 49-year-old man had been living with his girlfriend's body for about a month. In April of 2018, a 62-year-old woman had been doing the same with her boyfriend's badly decomposed body for several months. And in July of 2018, investigators had said that a Detroit mother had been living with her dead daughter's body for 8 months.
And I mean, we know that there's definitely areas of Detroit and areas of Michigan that don't have, you know, quality way of life. And we've heard, like, as far as like the crisis that happened in Detroit, life can't be that bad where your significant other is dying and you're like, yeah, let's just keep them around. Let's see how this goes.
I mean, I couldn't see the thought process of actually like having somebody that you've cared about. Like if you cared about them in any capacity, just leaving them like there. And then you walk past them every day, like, and then the odor and the aroma, and I'm guessing she's eating food. You can't just be sitting there just eating.
No. I wonder if she's watched like Weekend at Bernie's too many times and she like put sunglasses on each one of these bodies and then she like plays Electric Avenue just one time and then she's like, here it comes, and it just never happens. He just stays on that couch.
It takes a sick mental composition to be able to do that. But yeah, we're gonna cue up the clip right now and you guys can hear a little bit about this.
Monroe police say a woman spent 30 days living inside this house with a dead body inside. Now that woman is in the county jail answering to a list of charges. Sean Lay has been speaking with neighbors 30 days, a month of this. Did anybody suspect anything, Sean?
Well, especially this week, just a couple of days ago, Devin, one neighbor tells me a horrible stench was coming out of the apartment of Angela Schock. Schock said she was having trouble with the plumbing in the apartment, completely concealing the fact there was a dead body right behind the front door. Only local 4 cameras were in court today to capture Angela Schock telling a judge her boyfriend was her only means of support in life. And apparently after...
Oh, listen to her. Just no remorse.
...sealing the death of her 61-year-old boyfriend and using his bank card after...
She looks very, very weathered.
...what happened here on Harrison Street in Monroe, where people are asking how long was Schock planning to keep this up?
It's crazy. It probably would have went on for a while.
It's a little alarming, to be honest.
Police made the shocking discovery Wednesday after concerned family members of the man hadn't heard from him in weeks.
We believe he's been deceased in that apartment for about a month.
The man's body was found in a chair right by the front door. What is the motive here?
She wanted to continue to stay in the apartment. He also received some benefits through banks and his money and stay there, so she had a place to stay.
Schock's criminal record includes stalking, breaking and entering, destruction of property, and in court we learned she had a warrant out for her arrest for failing to appear on domestic violence charges, and now this.
I would want somebody to report me being dead. Like, he has family somewhere else too that need to know that he ain't here no more.
Like, neighbors still in shock by all of this here tonight. In the meantime, police are telling me that that 61-year-old man died of natural causes. Shock in the meantime, being held tonight on $25,000 bond. We're live tonight. Sean Lake.
I mean, there's so many questions right off the bat. First off, it's in an apartment, right? So there's neighbors. That smell is just going to seem through the walls completely. This lady, and they interviewed her, and she literally said, it was my boyfriend.
Yeah, I mean, and she looked a little bit rough around the edges. I mean, she just looked a little bit rough in general. But the fact that she had a warrant out for domestic battery, too, it's like, so did she just...
Her name was Angela. I mean,
Angela Shock. It was shocking.
I mean, we don't like to stereotype names. We've done it in previous episodes, but any Angela, I'm sorry, you're up to no good. You're either from like Philadelphia, you live in Michigan.
Angie.
Yeah, it's Angie for short, and you have a $25,000 warrant above your head. So, yeah, shout out to that guy. Unfortunately, he passed, and you know, Angela, you get what you deserve, but. Bury the man. Don't leave him on the couch where he's been watching fucking Red Wings games for the last 15 years.
Like, fortunately, it was natural causes, so at least there wasn't any foul play on her part. But I mean, foul play in regards to his death on her part. But like the way that she left him there, that is just disgusting.
Literally, like, it's just real tragic, and it's disgusting. You know. The one advice that we can give here at the Dark Sunsets studio and lab is if someone dies, put him in a hole. Put him in the grave, okay? Don't continue with them. So that is very American of what we're doing there, and that's very, you know, Western civilization, right? So that's what we do. We put people in a burial, or potentially we can burn them when they pass away. But now we're going to talk about Asia, because when we talk about Asia, there's no rules, as we know that, JR.
And we've got some interesting stories that do come from, you know, out east. So I think that we're about to stumble upon something that's going to really widen you guys' eyes out there.
Yeah, I really think this is what nightmares are actually made of, right? So when you think about, like, oh my gosh, I woke up in sweats and I had a terrible nightmare from watching the movie Get Out and things jumped out of the ship and we're like, what is happening right here? This is the total opposite of this. This is a story of a woman in Taiwan who was a 29-year-old woman who had no idea why her eye was actually swollen shut. Okay, so she had so much pain and, you know, I've had certain things happen with my eye. I've got Neosporin in my eye. I was an idiot 14-year-old, but this is the polar opposite of this. She was actually going into the doctor because she thought she had an infection that was making her eyes even worse, and her left eye would actually not open. So what was actually found inside of her eye were bees.
Yeah, so the doctors treated her, you know, what they thought was just, you know, pink eye, swollen eye, you know, maybe something that had hit her, you know, like a foreign piece of debris, like a leaf or something they thought was in her eye. It wasn't. In fact, it was small insects known as sweat bees. And supposedly, the measurements of these bees are about 3 to 4 millimeters, which in inches, it's about, I believe it's about 0.12 to about 0.16 inches in length. And the head of ophthalmology at the Taiwan's Fuyin University Hospital said that he saw something that looked like insect legs. So he pulled them out under a microscope slowly, and then one at a time, pulled them out without damaging things inside of the eye.
And so what's fucked, in my opinion, is, you know, when you think about a bug getting in your eye, you're like, oh, one bug has gotten my eye. They managed to pull out 4 bees, and they're referred to as sweat bees, living off of her tears. They actually pulled those out of her eye.
And so I guess the young lady was trying to, her eye was really swollen and she said it hurt a lot and she was trying to wash her eyes with water, but then she kept getting, she kept experiencing severe pain. And so her quote was that it was very painful, tears wouldn't stop coming out of her eye, and she said, you know, she was scared to death. And then it took about 3 hours of, as they called it, agony, which I could think, you know, if you have something in your eye, especially bees, after 3 hours of agony, when they visited the hospital and they got everything out, you know, they determined that it wasn't, a foreign object from like a tree or anything, but it was actually a foreign object, which was bees, then they were able to pull out the bees from her eye. Her vision was at, I guess it was reduced to, you know, if you have perfect vision, it's 20/20 vision. This, her equivalency was about 20/200 vision. So she basically almost was blind. Like, she had no visibility, pretty much.
So, like, does that mean the other eye was enhanced? Like, her other eye was literally like a telescope, and then her other eye that was shut was just a fucking bee farm?
I mean, I don't even know, like, the whole sweat bee thing. Like, I've
never even heard of these bees before, and that's what's insane, is they obviously crave salt, which are these types of bees. So they actually did an interview with her asking about how do you think this actually happened and how do you think they got into her eye. So she was referring and, like, talking about and referencing certain experiences that she had in the past, like, 24 hours, and she said she was visiting and tidying a relative's grave of one of her family members. And then she was squatting down and pulling out weeds. And then as she was pulling out the weeds, that's when she believes it actually hit her eyes.
And so I guess the sweat bee itself normally feeds off of nectar and pollen, which, you know, most bees would. But it is also drawn to human perspiration. So the human perspiration, what they say is that it provides, quote unquote, precious moisture and salt. So I'm guessing that the bees itself just fed off of her tears. But they didn't develop to, I don't know if they were at full growth, but nonetheless, bees in your eyes is bees in your eyes. Like,
I mean, now guys are literally picking her up and saying, honey, it brings a whole new meaning. We got dad puns and jokes for days. But yeah, there's actually an image, and I want to show you this as well. So there is an actual image on what they did show as far as the bees and what they look like. So your reaction.
Bee.
Yeah, you can tell these aren't small bees.
Yeah, that basically is what nightmares are made out of right there. I'm glad that this young lady went in when she did, because I believe that, I can't find the part where I was looking at, but I believe that if she wouldn't have went in, like if she'd have went in like 2 hours later, the doctor might have needed to take out her whole eye in order to save her life. So if you guys out there are experiencing any type of eye pain that seems normal, if you're doing any type of activity and just something doesn't seem right, please, please, please go to your local physician.
And make sure you tell them that Dark Sunset sent you. Absolutely. So, yeah, absolutely. So as we're progressing here and, you know, we're coming to a close now, we definitely wanted to share, you know, one of these prodigies in particular of, you know, we're talking about bees and we're talking about certain things about life. And, you know, all these stories have been either criminal-centric or people's eyes actually being gouged out by bees. Now we have a little bit of a positive story, if you certainly want to share there.
Yeah, so just this is something for you guys to end everything on a positive note, like a real warm note. I want you guys to check out, there's this 9-year-old prodigy. He's a guitar prodigy. His name is Taj Farrant, I believe, Farrant. He's an Australian kid. He's about 9 years old. And he's been featured on like the Ellen Show and a couple other programs. But this kid is just a ray of sunshine on, you know, otherwise crazy world. This kid can play anything that you can think of, the most complex songs, Bohemian Rhapsody, just all Jimi Hendrix, anything on guitar. And you can do a blindfold and whatnot. But we got a little bit of a clip queued up just so you can hear a little bit of it. But if you guys get a chance, definitely go just, you know, YouTube it, just Google search it. It's Taj, T-A-J, Farrant, F-A-R-R-A-N-T. You're going to definitely hear about this kid down the line, if not, you know, in a couple months. I'm sure he's going to get a record deal soon.
Oh, 100%. So here's like a little clip of him playing Tennessee Whiskey by Chris Stapleton and having a little guitar solo here. And I mean, for 9 years old, just look how passionate he is about playing the guitar. And he's definitely song here, which is amazing as well. Like every type of guitar riff that he's doing, his eyes are either going way too extreme or his mouth is being adjusted. And he's probably just looking at his idols and be like, what did they do? But what he doesn't know is all of his idols, they were all on acid and certain insane drugs during that experience.
He's definitely riding the beat of the music and whatnot, but for somebody so young, I think he started when he was like 6 or 7, but somebody so young to be so talented, it's definitely a good bright light for an otherwise crazy world with bees and egg smuggling and whatnot. So, you know, just shout outs to Taj and give him some views on YouTube so he can get his career going.
Definitely peep him, and I'm sure all the listeners are big fans of Ellen. He was just on Ellen as well. So give it a listen, and thank you guys for tuning in. And as always, we love you.
Peace.